Campbell, Emily C. Norfolk Villa, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. February 11, 1895. Emily C. Campbell. Last Sabbath, Brother and Sister Belden, Sister May Lacey and I went to Prospect to attend the Sabbath meetings there. Brother Byron Belden reviewed the school and did it well. I talked a while upon the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I present the foolishness of the excuses offered by those who refused the invitation, and the necessity for the king to send into the highways and hedges to find guests for the feast. The king declared that none of those who had made light of his message should taste of his supper. The invitation was to go to all classes, and those who received it might be guests at the marriage supper. I then read letters from Elder Haskell in regard to the work in Africa. If I can get these letters copied, I will send them to you. The meeting closed about 2:30. We saw that a storm was gathering, but in such a direction that we thought it would not reach us. As we rode toward home, the heavens gathered darkness. We hurried on as fast as we could, and when we were a little past the bridge that we go under in driving from Parramatta to Granville, a hurricane seemed to sweep upon us. The dust blew in clouds, the thunders rolled, and slight flashes of lightning were seen in the sky. As we turned the corner leading to our home, great hailstones fell, as large, round as an egg, though not so long. They were very beautiful in appearance. As we came down the hill leading to our gate, the horse slipped and twice came down upon her haunches. I said to Byron, "Get out at once, stand by her head, and talk to her." I then said to Sister Belden and Sister Lacey, "Get out as quickly as possible. The hail is so large and heavy that the horse may get frightened and be beyond control." They helped me out, and as I tried to get from the carriage, the tempest carried away my cushions. Even the heavy seat cushions were blown far into the field. Three of my lighter cushions were blown far away, and the smallest one was borne away by the stream, we know not whither. I held my hat in my hand, and with Sarah and May on either side, we made a rush through the terrible tempest to the house. Byron stayed by the horse, in the middle of the road, seeking to calm her frantic efforts as best he could. We did not dare to drive her, lest he should lose control of her. As soon as Sarah saw me safe in the house, she seized a shawl and went out again to the assistance of Byron. The hailstones were falling thicker and faster than before. May and I changed our clothing at once. May was drenched through and through. I was not so thoroughly drenched because I had on thicker clothing. My great anxiety was for Byron, Sarah, and the horse. For a time, they could do nothing. Byron held fast to the colt and sheltered his hatless head under her neck. Sarah tried to unloose the tugs, but she was unable to do so. Then Sarah held the horse, and Byron managed to unloose the tugs and slip off the harness and let the horse go free from the carriage. Byron tried his best to calm her until the fury of the tempest was somewhat abated. After this, he harnessed Jessie to the wagon, gathered up the scattered articles, and drove into the yard. Byron and Sarah were drenched to the skin. I could see from the upper window that there were large swellings on the body of the horse. A hailstone had struck Byron on the temple and nearly felled him to the ground, and there was a large lump over his eye. Sarah's wrists were bruised and discolored. We found that the windows on the south side of the house were broken, and pieces of glass had been carried halfway across the hall. The upper and lower windows of the veranda were also broken. The rain beat in beneath the doors and flooded the halls and the dining room. The stair carpet was drenched, and the kitchen and scullery were also flooded. Sunday morning, it was clear and sunshiny. When we looked over the orchard, we found that almost all of the peaches on a beautiful peach tree near the house had been blown off. The few remaining were bruised very badly. The rhubarb plants were all cut to pieces, and the pumpkins and the corn were also ruined. Saturday evening, Brother Pallant and Brethren Semmons, Hare, and Rousseau met together here for a council meeting. They expected that Brother McCullough would meet with them. Nothing could be done without him, so the gathering was a failure. We prepared lunch for them, and they returned to Ashfield. At our season of prayer, we offered up heartfelt gratitude to our Heavenly Father for preserving us from serious harm. We render thanksgiving and praise to God that we are all alive, that no one of us has broken limbs, that our horse is not injured or our wagon torn to pieces. Our confidence in Jessie has increased. During the pelting hail, she never kicked once. Praise the Lord with us, that Edie is not lying on a bed of sickness, and that the Lord sent his angels to protect us. If he had not been our refuge, we might have been killed or have sustained some serious injury. I am not ready to spare my right arm yet. I want to write and glorify God. I am pleased to tell you that the work is making progress in Ashfield. There is also a good interest and attendance at Petersham, where tent meetings have just been opened. They have removed the tent from Ashfield, but the interest at Ashfield has not decreased. They now hold meetings in a hall hired for that purpose. 16 were baptized at the Baptist Church last Wednesday. The Baptist minister took exception to the stress which the Adventists laid upon baptism by immersion. He made quite a speech on the subject, but finally told our brethren that they could have the use of the baptistry whenever they desired it. The work is going forward, and we hope that the advocates of truth will have the spirit of the Master and will not fail nor be discouraged. In these colonies, it seems to take some time to develop the work. The people do not readily take hold of new truths and change their old customs and practices. Nevertheless, if the advocates of truth exercise faith and are persevering, God will move upon human hearts and cause them to take their stand for the truth. A consistent Christian life that will lead a man to patiently take abuse without retaliation, that will lead him to follow a straight course of duty, to advocate the truth as it is in Jesus, will be effective in influencing others to be faithful and obedient. The Lord will give power, grace, and efficiency to those who are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. The servant of Christ will work as Christ worked and steadfastly maintain truth and righteousness. Christ was patient under abuse. He manifested forbearance, meekness, and lowliness of mind. He who follows his example will be a telling witness on the side of truth. Christ said, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." John 17, verse 24 to 26. Did ever Christ make a request to his Father that was not granted? Never, never. His request is a virtual assurance that what he asks will surely be granted. The tent is pitched at Petersham, and a good and increasing interest is manifested. Brother Collins and Brother Pallant and two or three sisters are canvassing the community and holding evening meetings in different sections of the suburbs. They are giving Bible readings, thus coming close to the people by personal effort. This awakens an interest and dispels the prejudice. Some very nice people are in attendance at the Bible readings. When they are sufficiently interested, they are invited to come to the tent, and thus a class of hearers are procured who seem to have a genuine interest. The Lord has given success to the truth at Ashfield. 16 were baptized Thursday, and 12 more are awaiting baptism. The interest has not diminished since the tent was taken down. New ones are continually coming in as interested hearers. We expect that a church will be organized of no less than 40 members. The brethren have requested that I shall come down one Sabbath to Petersham and the next Sabbath to Ashfield and labor for the people in the fear of the Lord. The tent meetings prepare the minds of the people and cause them to favor us. When Canwright's book was circulated and some of its accusations read at a meeting before the discussion, and reference was made to Mrs. White, the voice of the people was instantly raised. That is abuse, and nothing further was said on the point. Brother McCullough desires that I shall come to the meetings at Petersham during the first meetings, and I suppose I must go. He says, after the people have heard me speak, that the influence of Canwright's book is killed.